You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stu Gatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Billy, I'm excited for this episode of Stupidity, but I'm also a little bit concerned about you. We're going to have Ron Say on. This is all me, okay? Selfish, it's on me. And I apologize in advance for Ron Say, okay? Because there are certain names there are certain names. I'm certain our audience will love it, okay? But there are certain names when they come across my computer screen and I am asked, would you like this person on one of your podcasts? I can't say no. Brian Trottier is one of those people, New York Islander. I said yes to him. We still haven't gotten him on. Ron Say is another. He just puts a smile on my face. So that's it. It's just the guy that puts a smile on my face.
I forgot about the Islander that we that you, by the way, will never say no to, but also will say, can we reschedule to every time?
The traffic.
It's never a no, but it's an always, can it be not today?
Yeah, right. And tomorrow, please, for trots. You know what the T in trot stands for? Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Billy, I'm a little concerned about you because I have sat here for years. Well, not years, but since you had your last child, and I have told you to enjoy every single second, every second of it, even the bad parts. And yet here you are complaining. How old is your child? Your newest.
My newest is a month yesterday, but my newest is not the one that's causing my stresses at the moment. It's my firstborn. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're not enjoying all the moments I told you to enjoy, even the bad moments, Billy.
It's not that I'm not enjoying them. It's just that things are very busy, I would say. And like my daughter is going to be starting pre-K 2 now, and there's lots of activities that are involved with that, and like she's going to a school that has like a big community around it, and like there's lots of things that go into that, and football season also is a big time commitment just because of God bless. And I kind of mentioned it on the show yesterday just like in passing, and I don't know if I was allowed to or not, but like we're going to be doing twice a week now for God bless. We're going to be doing a reactionary Monday, which I think will be like fun. And I'm trying to do everything I can to get callers involved and have that implemented and installed in the studio. And just, you know, general fun and have Monday be different than the Friday episode. Not that the Friday episode isn't fun. That's not what I'm trying to say. But just have Monday be its own thing and Friday be its own thing. And, you know, kind of recap and preview every week and have a little bit of fun during football season. Because let's be honest, you know, all year long, God bless football, we're going to turn up the fun during football season,
We're going to turn up the fun? I mean, I feel like we're really fun on that show. I don't know how you turn your kids into a thing about God bless football, but God bless you, man.
Well, I'm just saying, like, maybe there won't just be a random golfer on God bless football during the football season. You know what I mean?
I feel like we just experienced a whole Billy Gill train of thought. Like he went on a journey.
You noticed.
Your head right
well,
there.
So I because this is what's happening. Is that I'm looking, I bought a calendar, right? And everybody on Earth now just uses like a Google calendar or whatever. It helps me to write things down. So I have a calendar and I have a planner, and then I have the calendar on my phone as well. So I can check that. But when I'm sitting at my desk, I have a calendar and I'm just looking at every week, and I bought all different color pens and I have like color-coded systems. I'm gonna take it off the wall. I have it Velcroed to the wall. I have every day a bunch of things in different colors, and it's not to say that I'm like busier than any of you are, but it's just hitting me how busy all of this becomes, right? Because you start factoring in two kids now, and this one has a doctor's appointment and that one has something, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to figure out, how do we make football season as smooth as possible for all of us? You know what I mean?
Right. Mikey A, I don't know how he turned a question about parenting and his kids into a calendar and different football colors seasons and writing things down, and we're cranking up the fun on God Bless Football. I mean, the show is fun. I mean,
I know, but it's, you know.
Right. I got you.
You know.
Okay. Right. You want smooth sailing, right?
I have on my calendar a Hyundai appointment.
Really?
2 weeks from now, yeah. There's a recall on my car.
All right. Well,
love a good recall, by the way, on a car, you know?
Why do you like that?
Because you take it in and it's like you just get a new whatever it is, and it's usually free of charge. And I'm kind of hoping maybe there's like a secondary recall. My car right now, not that anyone's asking, my car is a 2013 Hyundai Sonata, right? Uh-huh. And about, I own it. So my sister leased it, and after the 3 years she went to turn it in, I'm like, I'm going to take over that car. Like, I would like to buy that car. So we bought the car. So it's paid off, which is like great. Like 2 months after it got paid off, the engine died. Like something happened, and I took it to a Sears Auto Center, which doesn't exist anymore. And they're like, you need a new engine. And I'm like, that's not good. I just paid off this car. Like, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And then there was a recall. And I got a new engine for free in my car. So now it's like, I have this car that's 10 years old, but really the engine life on it is like 4 years old. And I'm going to be driving that baby into the ground. I'm telling you, I will be driving a 2013 Hyundai Sonata until my daughters graduate from the school that they're going to start soon. Because I'm not going to take on another car payment. It's just not happening.
You still didn't answer my question.
Football's going to be fun.
It doesn't matter. Somehow football's fun. You love a recall. You got a new engine. The
Ron Say.
You have an appointment. I have an appointment with Ron Say, the Penguin, right now. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Stu, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.
Ronce, you are a name and a face, by the way. It's great to see you. That makes me smile because you bring me back to a better place. You bring me back to my childhood in the 80s, growing up, when I loved baseball. I don't love it as much as I used to, but you are one of those people that just puts a smile on my face the second I hear your name or see your name. Do you get that a lot?
Well, that's very kind of you to say. I suppose that, you know, that has to do probably with something with the nickname and the success and possibly the way I played the game. So thank you.
He has a new book out, Penguin Power, Dodger Blue, Hollywood Lights, and a One in a Million Big League Journey. Why'd you decide to write the book, Ron, besides money, of course?
It's not so much about that. It was a matter of me kind of breaking down a lot of walls over a period of years after I retired from baseball when I was around 40. And, you know, I stepped aside a little bit, played a little Mr. Mom for a while, went to back to work for the Dodgers at the request of Peter O'Malley, and spent all but the last year and a half over there doing multiple things. But I wasn't sure I had a story to tell or that somebody would want to listen, but I had a lot of people who were kind of prodding me over a period of time, and just got to a point where I started, you know, knocking some of these walls down, and I realized that, you know, I did have a story to tell, and why not? It became interesting, and you know, and I also had to get over the fact that, you know, all you have to do is Google me and you find out a whole lot of stuff, and I wasn't sure I wanted to open up that other side in a book. But I was able to get it to a point where I decided to move forward, and I'm also doing a podcast now that I've been doing for the past 8 months called We'll See About That on CRN Talk Radio. We also have Spotify, Amazon, Apple, Roku, and Google. And so at 75, I'm in uncharted territory with the book and the podcast. So, you know, I'm having fun, not necessarily from the business side of things, but I'm having fun doing the interviews, and was happy that I was able to tell a story.
Writing is hard. Did you enjoy, you enjoyed that process, huh?
Well, I had a ghostwriter who came in on the second part of this game, Ken Gernick, who was a beat writer for the Dodgers back when I was playing, and is an accomplished journalist, has written books before, was a writer for the Dodgers, I think, online, has a very good background of the history and tradition. So he was a person that helped me reorganize after the first one fell apart. We did 20 hours of Zoom during the pandemic. I had a pre-existing condition with my ghostwriter, and it was cancer, and I was not aware of it. So we got down near the end, and we started looking at the transcript, and couldn't continue. It was not done as well. So I had to start over, and Kenny was the right person to put pen to paper with it.
What were some of the things you said? You Google your name, and there are things on the internet that that were annoying to you, that you see a whole different side.
Oh, not necessarily annoying. Not necessarily annoying. No, not in that case.
It was anything that upset you, like pissed you off, or?
Oh, you know, I mean, look, you know, I think I'm above board on the love-hate relationship, whatever it is. But it was just a matter of the amount of information that was out there. That, you know, page after page after page, you know, and I didn't realize it until, you know, I started to take a look at it. But, you know, I've always wanted to, you know, be my own person, you know, do my own thing. I wasn't really too worried about, you know, how I was going to do all of this. I just felt that there was a part of me that I didn't want to expose, and there still is a part of me that I didn't expose. So there are things in the book that are there because of a purpose, and I did leave some things out, but, you know, that's for obvious production reasons.
Do you have a great Tommy Lasorda story for us, Ron?
most of the ones I can't tell you, but you know,
is there one that you can tell us?
Well, I mean, look, Tommy was you know, it's more of a combination of things. You have to understand that when we first came in to the organization, meaning the nucleus of players that were in the most successful infield in Major League history, Garvey, Lopes, Russell, and myself, were all homegrown guys. We all came in within a year or two apart. And so Tommy nurtured these guys. He understood who those players were going to be. We spent a great deal of time with him. I remember in Instructional League, which is now the Arizona Fall League, way back when, that Tom Lasorda would take Billy Buckner and I out to dinner at Sir George's. And back then, Sir George's was, you know, like a family smorgasbord restaurant, and had all the checkered board tables, and you know, it's like $3.50 a person. So, you know, mothballs flew out of his wallet when he did it. But I never went to a dinner outside of Sir George's that he ever paid for.
Billy, it sounds like your kind of place. I mean,
I love it. I love what we're talking about.
I want to get to Columbo. Mikey, hey, you have your Columbo questions ready? You've been waiting for this all day. So here you go. Here's your chance to talk to Ron Say about Columbo.
Honestly, I just want to know what it was like. I mean, you got to Google you and you find out a bunch of things. And the first thing I saw was he was on Columbo. My mother loved that show. I remember watching it with her. What was that like?
Yeah. Well, it goes back about 36, 37 years now, I guess. And I'm still collecting my 45 cent residuals on that on a regular basis. I think I've accumulated probably $20 over the course of that time. But it was a great time. I had an opportunity to do it as there was a friend of mine who was a director at the studios there at Universal. And he hooked me up with Peter Falk, and it was a 2-hour segment, and I was in both the first hour and the second hour. And in between time, Peter would take me around and show me the sets, and we go to his trailer and hang around. And he was just great to me. I had a really terrific experience with him. It was a lot of fun. I have a greater appreciation for the detail that goes into making those things, because I think in the card game, we had like maybe 6 or 7 people in it, and they had to do individuals for each scene. So it was forever monotonous, but, you know, and repetitive, but really an incredible piece of work put together. Peter was terrific. And I look back at those at a very fond time.
Did you get one more thing? Oh, one more thing. And then he asked you the one more question great. That broke it open.
Yeah. You know, he just had a persona about it, you know, and he was just a lot of fun to be around. I can see why they had a good time with that show.
Ron, do you feel like you played for the best infield of all time? Because that infield was great.
I like to take it down just a notch. I think it's fair because it's valid and it's factual. It is the most successful infield in major history because nobody else came close to what we were doing. There may have been an infield that for one season, maybe two, that accomplished a great deal. But when you look at 8.5 years together, the number of games we won, every member of the infield was a multiple time All-Star. We 4 World Series, a World Championship. We're the nucleus of the team for 10 years. You can't touch it. And so most successful sits better with me than claiming the top spot. But I would have to say that, you know, we're in the mix for that too.
Ron, you obviously have retired from Major League Baseball. You haven't appeared on screen in some time as an actor, but would you say you're retired from acting as well? Or you want to maybe
I have been in a movie. I have done television. I have written a book. I have a podcast. I've recorded a baseball jingle back in 1976.
Come again? A song? You wrote a song?
Oh yeah. Google it. You'll find it.
oh, Billy.
One game at a time and playing the third base bag, and it was supposed to be in fun, but course, some people said you ought to stick to your night job.
Mikey, yeah, you're conditioned to hate Dodgers because you're a Yankee fan, but you find yourself liking Ron Say, don't you?
Not conditioned to hate. That's like 10 years before my time.
Oh, it doesn't matter. He took four. I mean, he took four World Series from the Yankees. What's the matter with you?
No, the Yankees actually took one from us. 1978.
Yeah.
Pains me to speak about even today. It's the most painful loss I had in my career, and I wish we had had instant replay back then.
Mm. Ron, do you like? We talked to David Wells recently on the show. He doesn't watch baseball. He doesn't like today's baseball. Do you like baseball?
I like baseball, but I don't watch much baseball. I'm kind of in the same category that you guys might be. The game has changed too much for me, I think. There's a lot of manipulation. The game that, you know, my fan base grew up with, loving the strategy, knowing how the game is played, what to expect, anticipate, the names of the players doesn't exist anymore. Mm. You know, guys are trading places, regularly. You just saw Verlander and Scherzer go to the Mets last winter, and now they're both with different teams chasing, a world championship for somebody in the moment. And it's an easy way to pick up a World Series ring, I guess. But, I don't know. The game that we played back then just doesn't exist anymore. It's a strikeout home run game. By changing the size of the bases, they invited old school baseball back in for this year because they weren't attempting many stolen bases anymore. And now because of this base that was, you're out, now you're safe. Being a game of inches, that's all it took for some of these people who run the show to decide that we're going to go back and delve in old school baseball and steal some more bases.
There's too many stats now too, right? We're ruining baseball with now. How about home runs, RBIs, and that, you know, batting average. We're good with that, right, Ron?
Well, you know, I'm all for the statistical breakdown, the metrics, but it's a matter of how you use it. Okay. The information is valuable. It's a matter of how you use it. I don't want it to be something that is mandatory. And that is one of the things that I felt was an issue when they had the switch in here. You know, the everybody would shift to the other side of the field primarily for left-handed hitters. And I had a hard time trying to justify that to myself. And a lot of the other metrics that go along with, you get a guy to face left-handed pitching and he's 0 for 25 against this one left-handed pitcher, but he's playing today because he's due. Okay. Mm-hmm. And not because he can't hit the guy, but because he's due. And so, you know, it talks out of both sides of their mouth. And I have trouble with that. I have trouble with the bullpen game because I think it's nothing more than a glamorized exhibition game. Exactly. And all these games count, you know, they all count. And you've seen through the alignment with, postseason play, and you get the wild card teams that, you know, you are now seeing this thing come down to, you know, last day a lot of times, and it's pretty exciting. And that's the smart part about baseball. You know, beforehand, you know, we were losing our fan base before September because so many teams were out of the race, and now they've turned themselves to football. And now when you have more teams vying for that wild card spot, you keep your fans invested in the game through September. So that part of it is good. I don't really want it to expand to be any more than that because I don't want it to look like football and basketball.
It's Bill James, though. I mean, he's too far. Every week it's a new statistic with him that he just kind of makes up. And it's just like, enough, Bill. The nerds have taken over the game. It's too much.
I agree that there's too much of it out there because you can paralyze yourself by overanalyzing things. And it's hard for me to come to terms with a lot of this because it has to be simple. You know, you can go look at the tapes. We didn't have much of that going on when I was playing. It was more about feel. And you get into a place where, I mean, if you're thinking too much at the plate when you're in the box, you're going to get paralyzed. You know, go with your strength.
Too cute. I mean, how about just trot out Say, Russell, Garvey, and Lopes every single day for 10 years? That's what you do, right, Ron?
Well, you know, it worked, and it would have been a very difficult thing to enforce, I think, with the group of guys that I played with. And we had Dusty Baker, Rick Monday, and Reggie Smith in the outfield. And I can't imagine what Lasorda's line in front of his door would have been if one of those guys wouldn't have been playing, because he would have been knocking on it saying, who's better than I am that's playing today?
I have been told stories of Steve Garvey, who was like a playboy back in the 80s, okay? Like, everyone loved Garvey. But I was told that that Garvey would hit on women during the game. Is that accurate, Ron?
I have no idea. He was on the other side of the infield.
Yeah.
Whatever he was doing.
What happened on that side stays on that side. Is that what you're saying, Ron?
That's correct. Yeah.
But he was a good-looking son of a bitch, wasn't he?
Apparently he was.
And he wasn't shy about telling you that he was.
Well, yeah, let's, you know, we should move on.
Yeah, let's move on.
I love it. Rod Say is with us. Check out his new book. It is out right now. Also has a podcast as well. Penguin Power, Dodger Blue, Hollywood Lights, and a one in a million big league journey. Why is your journey one in a million, Ron?
Because my father-in-law was quoted by my wife by saying, what are you doing hanging out with this guy? These guys, one in a million makes it. And so that's kind of where that came from. And the story to that is that we had a very short time together before we decided to get married. And I had gotten called up, my first call up to the big leagues, the week before we were supposed to be getting married in Chicago at the Drake Hotel. And I hadn't even met the parents. And here I am. And her conversation with her father says, hey, listen, he's not in the major leagues yet. I believe in him. I know he's going to accomplish this goal that he's had since a kid. He says, yeah, but he says, these guys all have that same goal. And there's only one in a million that ever make it. So that's kind of how that got stuck in there.
Yeah, but Ron, you had that last laugh, right? I mean, you did.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, when you each year, you know, you have the June draft, and you know, 90% of these guys, 97%, at least years ago, that was the percentage marker, that get drafted, who are the creme of the creme, the creme de la creme of the moment, the year, don't make it. Don't make it.
Right.
You know, I mean, so you're going in with, you know, like incredible odds surrounded against you. And, you know, the incredible thing is that, you know, the year that I was drafted by the Dodgers in 1968 is heralded as the greatest free agent draft in Major League history. Produced 11 Major League players out of that draft. Can you imagine that? I mean, that breaks every record you could possibly imagine. That happened. And not only was I the highest war-ranked player in that group that we had, I was the highest-ranked player in the entire 1968 draft of war. So that gave me a lot of pleasure saying that.
Ron, you're kind of an old-school guy, and I love it. So I got to ask you this for our friend Billy Gill. How do you feel about someone taking 3 weeks paternity leave? Do you think that's too much, or what's the right amount to take for paternity leave?
Well, we didn't have those clauses in our contract back
then. Yeah.
So I don't know how they would work. I guess depends on who you are in this game. But I think 3 weeks would be a little bit much.
Yeah,
I have a bigger problem with the guys that get hurt in April and then they tell you they're going to be back and after the All-Star break. I want to know what else happened to them in between time.
Right. Exactly. Get back on the field, right, Rod? I mean, let's go.
I mean, we didn't have that luxury. Only winners move forward. We had National League East and National League West.
Exactly.
One winner, move forward, best of five, go to the World Series. That first game of the best of five in that NLCS is a bear. Mm-hmm. I mean, you better get that under your belt because you don't have seven-game Seven games is different. Five is crucial.
Back then, you know, you feel pain, you just play through it, and then you deal with it in the offseason. Isn't this Tommy John in the middle of the season?
Throw some dirt on it.
Throw with the other arm. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, you know, I like I said, we had a bunch of guys. If you check the, once again, if you have any issues with what I've had to say, please fact check them. Go and take a look at four infielders and the number of games they played while we were in that eight and a half year stretch. I mean, everybody was playing 150 games. I mean,
you should change the name of your podcast to Final Say. You know what I'm saying?
I like it.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I mean, listen, we'll have you on all the time. You'll have the final say on everything if you'd like. I don't care.
I don't know if I necessarily, I mean, it would be at a stretch around here. My wife usually gets the final say on most of that stuff. Mm. Hey, I've been married for 50 years. I know how it works.
50 years? Congratulations, man.
Yeah. I it will be 50 years that I've lived in my home in Woodland Hills, California, coming September. So longevity is good to me for those things.
What's the key to a long, great marriage?
Yes, ma'am. When she's happy, I'm happy. Trust me.
That is so great. Do you enjoy the podcasting, Ron?
I do. As I mentioned earlier, you know, the business side of it is really slow. I was on Jim Rome's show here last week, and we had touched base on, you know, his beginning too. And I said to him, I said, you probably have some stories to tell about, you know, how rough it goes for your first year. You know, it's a very slow business, and hard to get people to get things done on time. So I enjoy doing the interviews. It's great interviews. I'm having Ashley Fred Claire on, the former general manager of the Dodgers, this week. A few weeks ago, I had Billie Jean King after she came back from the Paris Open in France. And, so it was fun. You know, and she's a minority owner too, with the Dodgers, who I no longer work for.
Right. Ron Zay is with us. Before we let you go, and we appreciate it, I am wondering, do you have a Mount Rushmore of LA Dodgers? Who were the four people that represent the Dodgers the best?
Oh my. Walter O'Malley, number one. Right. He was the one who had the insight to bring the Dodgers west from Brooklyn and bring the San Francisco Giants with him, expand baseball. So that was a major coup back then. Jackie Robinson, you know, he is part of our 50-year group that is extremely elite. You know, he opened the doors for so many people. They've retired his number for the entire sport. And Scully's career lasted 66 years. So there's another one that's over 50 years. And actually, you know, we just had our 50th anniversary for the infield. So we're in a very small league group. I don't think that we're in that group, though. However, I would also put, I put Koufax
really
in there too.
Well,
yeah.
Tommy,
Tommy is a baseball icon. He was an ambassador for so many years. We can put him in there with a tie with Koufax. Yeah. If it's top four, if not top five. But look, there's plenty of people who are deserving of consideration here. But Manny Ramirez.
I mean, in the more modern one, possibly.
You went Kershaw to Manny before Kirk Gibson? I mean.
Oh, yeah, oh, Gibby, Kirk, yeah. Oh.
Well, I mean, look, that's a moment. All due respect to Gibby. I mean, he was here for a little bit, over a year.
Cup of coffee, yeah.
He had a moment that is recognized as the greatest single moment in Dodger history. But outside of that, does he qualify to be on our all-time team? No. I don't know if anybody can play 1 year and expect to accumulate enough to be able to be in that status.
This is why you have the final say. I'm telling you. Listen, well, I am willing. Listen, Ron, if you want to rename the podcast, rebrand it, I will co-host it with you, okay? I'm in.
Here's the deal. If you look at our all-time Dodger team, and let's just do the infield.
Do the all-time Dodger team by position.
Yes.
Well, let's do the infield first, and then you guys can help me with who you think, okay? Infield goes like
this. I love you, Ron Say. I just wanted to say that, okay? Thank you, okay?
All right, here we go. It's Campanella.
Oh,
Hodges.
Wait. You're going Robinson. Campy before Piazza. Is that what you're saying?
I said the all-time Dodger team.
You have final say. I'm sorry.
Okay?
Yep.
The all-time Dodger team is Campanella,
yep.
Hodges, Robinson, Reese, myself. The LA Dodgers all-time team is Piazza.
Yeah. Well,
Garvey, Oakes, Wills, myself. Okay? That's how it breaks down. All those guys are Hall of Famers. Okay? You can't put somebody in there that's not a Hall of Famer. Okay? You can't do that. Yes. Go ahead.
Take you out of it. Who's playing third base on that all-time team?
Take me out of it?
You're out. You don't get to be careful, Mikey.
Why would he take him out?
Because I want to see who he thinks is next best. That's really what
he's
I'm
on his team and well, he's on the actual team. I mean,
you see, you know, yeah. I mean, look, this has to be done while you're a Dodger. Okay, exactly. It's not done while you were a Met like Piazza was. This is done for your time as a Dodger.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, Adrian Beltre is going to be a Hall of Fame third baseman when his time comes around. You know, he had an incredible run in Boston and Texas in particular. I mean, he was extremely strong down the stretch. He didn't have that kind of start with the Dodgers, and then he went to the Mariners for a while. And, you know, I thought he was very uncomfortable up there. It seemed like he had a first good month and a first bad month, or a first and last good month, and the rest in between was kind of mixed. But overall, you know, what he has done, he is deserving. I mean, he's a top 10 all-time third baseman in my opinion. He did that much. And as far as the rest of them, they weren't here long enough to do anything. I don't even know who would come after that. You know, Justin Turner had a nice run while he was here. But he's really not that kind of a player.
Yeah.
So we need to fill out the outfield. Is that
okay? We have Snyder in center field.
Right.
There was a guy, I can't remember his name offhand. Played back in the 1920s or 1930s. I can't remember who it was right now.
Ooh.
And I should know because I know that much about it. Carl Ferrillo comes to mind.
Gil Hodges was first base, right?
Correct.
Yeah. First base.
Yeah.
You said Duke Snyder. I was thinking Pedro Duke Snyder.
Guerrero?
Yeah.
He wasn't here long enough, I don't think. Like I said, you know, Pedro had some really good years. I mean, look, he had some really good years here. No question about it. He did really well with the Cardinals too. I think that's when he kind of peaked, if I'm not mistaken. He would be in the mix. But you know, when you look at Dusty and Reggie, you know, they were really good players for us. But Matt Kemp was very good. Andre Ethier. You know, he had a really strong career as a Dodger. And that would put him in the mix as well. I would have to look at that a little bit more thoroughly. All those guys in there. You know, there's, you know, Mookie Betts right now. He's most likely going to fit in rather well when his career is done there. I mean, if he's going to play the entire contract out, you know, he's going to have statistics that will up to push him up to number one. Who knows? The rest of it, you know, I would have to analyze it a little bit more. But darn it, I can't remember that guy's name. That was back in the 1920s. Yeah,
Willie really Crawford was good.
Willie Crawford was an in between kind of player.
Yeah,
Willie, you know, he hit 10 home runs. He hit 290, 285, driving 60 runs, and you know, it's a little of this and a little of that.
Reliable though.
Yes, reliable and extremely talented athlete. Could have played football. Could have played baseball. He and Willie Davis. Willie Davis is also, by the way, Willie Davis is the highest ranked position player in Los Angeles Dodger history. Do you know that?
No.
By WAR. Yeah. And I'm number two, and I'm the number one infielder, and he's the number one outfielder.
Mm. Were you thinking of Willie Keeler? Is that who we were thinking of?
No. I just
Zach Wheat.
There you go, Zach Wheat. Zach Wheat is a Hall of Famer, and yes, he would be in the outfield.
How about Mondesi or Sean Green? Huh?
Yeah,
Sean Green. I had on my podcast. We relived that day that he hit four home runs and just had probably the greatest day in Dodger history. What an amazing day that was. You know, Mondesi certainly made a mark. He was a terrific player. I think he was also in the second group that the Dodgers had that had four guys who had 30 home runs in one year. And I think that was Mondesi, Zeal, Karros, and Piazza, if I'm not mistaken. Mondesi, you know, eventually got himself in hot water going back to the Dominican. And so that hasn't fared too well with him. But Sean Green hit 49 home runs that year, I think it was. You know, he's another player that, you know, is kind of stuck in between. You don't have really a team that you played long enough that you can be identified with. You know, for something like that. And as a matter of fact, going back to Beltre, he told me that he was going to hang his hat in Texas when he takes the Hall of Fame.
Ron said, "This has been a delight. Check out his new book, Penguin Power, Dodger Blue, Hollywood Lights, and a One in a Million Big League Journey, plus his podcast. We'll see about that. We're going to change it to Final Say. I'm going to co-host the podcast with him." Ron, I do want to tell you on the way out here, Billy, I don't know if you did this. I did Google your jingles, your songs.
Yes.
And what came up, the first thing that came up is Ron Say and the worst baseball songs ever recorded.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know, like I said, you know, I think we sold 30 worldwide. I have 25 of them.
Right.
And, you know, it's exactly supposed to be that way. And for anybody who wants to go out on a limb and say those are the worst baseball jingles, you know, I mean, get with it, man. This was just for fun.
Yeah.
You're lucky I didn't hit you with a ballad.
I want you to. Can you please? Please.
No,
please.
I can't do a ballad. No, the record actually was confirmation of my seventh grade boys' glee class. You know, I was finally able to put that to use, and I'm proud of it.
All right. Listen, I have an idea. If you're not going to change it to the Final Say, okay, we'd like to have you on, you know, sprinkle you in throughout the year, okay? And you'll have Final Say on things that we are debating. Is that cool?
Sounds cool. You let me know when you want me, and I'll be around.
Oh, I love that. We'll promote the book and the podcast anytime you want, okay?
Got
in exchange
it.
For you doing that, sir.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, Ron, on the way out, sell the book. Tell people why they should buy this book. Go ahead.
Thanks so much. Well, it's an opportunity for you to have an inside look at some of the things that went on during a baseball career and give hope for those who have this childhood dream that just might come true.
All right. I am telling you, this is a delight. This has been a delight. And growing up, you, Russell, Garvey, Lopes, Fernando, that entire Dusty Baker, the entire team just puts a smile on my face. Takes me back to a better time. So thank
you. Puts a smile on my face, too. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. Good luck with the book, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Stu Gatz here for my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't. The great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.